This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, January 8th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for the Wall Street Journal. In the aftermath of the riots at the U.S. Capitol earlier this week, social media companies took their strongest action to date against President Trump, with both Twitter and Facebook temporarily suspending the president's accounts. On today's show, our global tech editor Jason Dean will join me to explain what's going on and why the companies are taking this action now. That's after these headlines. Officials in the federal judiciary say the electronic filing system used by federal courts has likely been compromised in the SolarWinds hack, the suspected Russian cyber espionage campaign that compromised several U.S. government agencies and businesses. Analysts say gaining access to confidential judiciary records could be especially valuable to foreign spies because the documents often contain sensitive information like investigative techniques or specific email accounts and phone numbers that are being surveilled. The judiciary says it's working to immediately add new security measures to protect highly sensitive confidential documents, and that any new documents filed would be added to a standalone computer system. Moscow has denied involvement in the SolarWinds hack. Bitcoin's rally is already extending into 2021, and in fact, it's picking up. Yesterday, the price of the cryptocurrency crossed $40,000 for the first time, less than a week after the price hit $30,000. An analyst said the surge is likely being driven by investors with FOMO, the fear of missing out on the gains, and it's not likely to be sustainable. A consumer advocacy group in the Netherlands is suing the country's privacy regulator over a two-year wait for action on a complaint against Google. The suit highlights growing dissatisfaction among consumers, privacy advocates, and some regulators about how complaints against large companies are handled. Our reporter Catherine Stepp says a lot of this has to do with a provision known as the one-stop-shop rule in the European Union's 2018 data protection law. Here's Catherine.
So the one-stop-shop means that a company has its headquarters in Europe in one particular country in the EU, and the privacy regulator in that country is the only one responsible for regulating the company, not all the other regulators in all of the other European countries. So it saves that company work. It means that they only have to deal with one regulator. But a lot of consumer groups and privacy advocates say it actually makes life harder for them because they end up having to wait a really long time for any decision in a case because regulators in certain countries have a lot of work and in other countries they have a lot less because a lot of multinationals tend to be headquartered in a small group of countries.
And the e-commerce software provider Shopify removed online stores run by the Trump Organization and the Trump campaign in response to Wednesday's riot at the Capitol. A spokeswoman for Shopify said President Trump had violated the company's policy prohibiting retailers from supporting organizations or people that promote violence. Representatives for the Trump Organization, the umbrella company that oversees the president's real estate and branding business, didn't respond to requests for comment. In any case, Shopify isn't the only company taking action against the president after the events of this week. After the break, we'll talk about how social media companies are responding. That's next.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
In the past year, Twitter and Facebook have started putting labels on posts from President Trump that they say violate their rules against election misinformation and inciting violence. Then, on Wednesday, while Trump supporters were rioting at the U.S. Capitol, President Trump used those platforms to reiterate unsubstantiated claims that the election was stolen, and he expressed support for the rioters. And Facebook and Twitter drew a line in the sand. They put temporary blocks on President Trump's accounts. Yesterday, Facebook said it would be extending that ban indefinitely, at least through the end of the president's term. Twitter, on the other hand, said it would give Trump back access to his account, but it warned that it could enact a permanent suspension of his account if he commits further violations. To be clear, both companies have blocked other people before, but this move was unprecedented against the president, who has used social media more than any other platform to reach his supporters. Here to talk more about social media's role in and response to this week's events is our global tech editor, Jason Dean. Hey, Jason, thanks so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So we've seen calls for social media companies to take decisive action like this on their platforms before, but they've never gone quite this far. So why now?
Well, you know, I think there have been a lot of people saying for a long time that the what is said on social media, distortions and incitements are potentially dangerous and have potential real-world consequences. And we've certainly seen some evidence of that. But the social media companies had to balance that against concerns about censorship and their mandate for free expression. Wednesday's events made clear that those consequences in the real world could be quite severe, and the pressure on the platforms to take more decisive action was immediate and intense.
And how are people reacting to the action they did take?
Well, you certainly have people who are not in favor, but you don't see the level of outcry and consternation that we've seen when they've taken lesser actions in the past. And I think that's primarily because people are more concerned about Mr. Trump's actions and statements on the platforms and the violence that followed that than they are about the consequences for his use of the platforms.
And I want to talk about some of the political pressures here. These companies have gotten criticism from both sides of the political aisle on the actions that they have taken or not taken on content moderation before. Can you just walk us through the political calculus of this moment in particular?
Well, one thing that seems different, at least in the minds of some, is that this has gone beyond a certain threshold, that it isn't simply a matter of allowing the president of the United States, who was elected in 2016, to have the ability to speak publicly and the consequences for censoring him. It's now about what, in the views of many, was an attempt at insurrection and the role that he played in that. So, you know, it has changed the dynamics of the conversation and the calculus, I think, for those companies in that way.
These platforms were used by the rioters to organize ahead of time, and there have been similar incidents in the past. Are Facebook and Twitter going through a reckoning about the role that they play in this riot and in others? And do we have any signs that they're repositioning on this?
It's a bit early yet, but I think it is a reckoning. I think they've been, you know, going through a reckoning for some time. And again, they're balancing the concerns about the real world consequences of less stringent regulation of content on their platforms against concerns about infringement of free expression. There have certainly been incidents before this where what was said on social media led to consequences in the real world that were quite severe for some people or groups. I think it's fair to say nothing quite rose to the level of what everyone witnessed on Wednesday in terms of the shock and the political consequence of it. But again, there are definitely people who are saying now, hey, we've been telling you this is a problem for a long time, and it's too little too late.
And Jason, is this a watershed moment for social media companies? Does taking this kind of action make it easier for them to enforce their guidelines more rigorously in the future? You know, I'm thinking especially when it comes to political figures who use their platforms to communicate and influence the public.
Well, it potentially does. But at the same time, Trump represented a unique challenge for the platforms. We just have not had a political leader of his stature who speaks publicly and especially uses social media in the way that he does and has. And his exit from the presidency will resolve at least part of this, because once he is a private citizen, the logic and the requirements for them to allow him to, you know, that have governed their decisions in the past to allow him to say whatever he wants on the platform with little consequence, that will be no longer operative, right? So in some sense, that singular aspect of the problem will be removed. But for sure, there will be ramifications for their broader implementation of policy from this week going forward.
You know, but of course, these social media platforms are also businesses, and there are alternatives already out there, like Parler, for example, that take a more kind of libertarian, say anything approach to content moderation. Is that a consideration that plays in, you know, that a banned user could just take their followers and go to another platform?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's, they're certainly aware of that as a possibility. That said, Parler and Gab and the others thus far have been pretty ineffective at gaining anything like the size and scope of the audience and user base that Facebook and Twitter, even Snap have. And so, you know, they don't seem to represent an imminent threat.
But is there a likelihood that potentially if the bigger platforms decide to take this harder line, that those other platforms could gain traction more easily than they did before?
That's possible. To some degree, it will depend on how resilient the Trump movement remains in the wake of this week's events and all of the recrimination from both political parties that's been aimed at the people who were responsible for the mob attack on the Capitol and the president himself.
All right, Jason, we're just a couple of days removed from this really big moment in history. What are you going to be watching as this continues to play out?
Yeah, well, certainly a number of the things we just discussed. For starters, we'll see how Mr. Trump's use of Twitter evolves. Beyond that, what additional measures will the platforms put in place and how will they implement them going forward without Trump in the White House, with the new political dynamics in Washington? And as you asked about before, how will people who still support Mr. Trump respond to whatever policy choices the platforms do make going forward? And, you know, will these other alternate sites be able to mount any kind of credible challenge to them remains to be seen.
All right. That's our global tech editor, Jason Dean. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thanks again for having me.
That's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley, and Kateri Yoakum is the executive producer of Wall Street Journal Podcasts. I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. Thanks for listening and see you Monday.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.